Would you join me in prayer? Quiet our hearts, O God, that we might truly listen and hear, and by your Spirit working within our spirits, understand your word. Your word of challenge and hope and comfort. Your word that gives us direction. May my words be your words for these, the people you love so dearly. Through Christ Jesus, amen. The Old Testament reading today is good news for the people of Isaiah's day, and it helps us understand the good news that came to us through Christ Jesus as well. From Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 17. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as the heaven." But Ahaz says, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on your ancestors' ancestral house such days as have come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." My friends, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A little introduction to the Gospel of Matthew. And I want to begin by comparing the Christmas stories in the four Gospels. Did you know that the Gospel of Mark gives no account of Jesus' birth whatsoever? It begins with John the Baptist and proceeds and jumps right into the story of Jesus' ministry. And then there's the Gospel of John. Portrays Jesus' birth in high and lofty prose. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then there's the Gospel of Luke. That's our Christmas story motherlode. Two full chapters of angels announcing the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus' birth. A visit between two expectant mothers. Mary's glorious song of praise. Mary and Joseph's trek to Bethlehem. The birth of Jesus in a manger because there's no room in the inn. Fearful shepherds and singing angels. Luke has it all. And no doubt, this Christmas Eve, at your Christmas Eve service, you will be reading and hearing once again that beautiful Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke. And then there's the Gospel of Matthew, which begins this way. An account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Amadad, and Amadad the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Ruth and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Aspa. Wow. Now that's something you would want to read when you're trying to get to sleep at night. Right? Wow. What is that about? Why would Jesus, why would Matthew think it's so important to present this story of Jesus' family tree, his lineage, with names that are too difficult to pronounce? No doubt he desired to connect Jesus with Abraham, the father of faith, and also with David, the greatest king of all the kings. One might think that Jesus' family tree would be made up of nothing but the pillars of faith and people of goodness through and through, almost like super saints. Let's take a closer look at some of the members of Jesus' family tree. For instance, Rahab was a link in Jesus' genealogy, even though she was a prostitute who helped Joshua capture the city of Jericho. Ruth was a link in Jesus' genealogy, even though she wasn't Jewish. She was a foreigner, an outsider. Bathsheba, which is not mentioned by name, but simply called the wife of Uriah, was a link in Jesus' genealogy, even though she had an affair with David. The pivotal link in Jesus' genealogy is David. David was a remarkable individual. You know his story. As a youth, he stood up to the bully Goliath. He was a shepherd, a musician, a poet, a soldier, a king. He was described as the man after God's own heart. However, you also know that he messed up big time when he gave in to his lust and committed adultery with Bathsheba. And furthermore, how could it sink even lower? But it does. He took the reprehensible step to make sure that Uriah, that's Bathsheba's husband, would be killed in battle so he could have her. You know, I read these names and I learn a bit about them, of the people of Jesus' genealogy, and I find a lot of hope. I find a lot of hope in that genealogy. If Jesus was related to these individuals who were a mixed bag of saint and sinner, faithful and flawed, then there's hope for Bob. And there's hope for you. I can breathe a sigh of relief when I realize I don't have to be perfect to be a member of Jesus' family. And even though I'm anything but perfect, God still welcomes me to be a part of God's redemptive and reconciling work in the world. Matthew's genealogy illustrates the good news that we are loved. We are welcomed, mixed bag and all. Matthew completes Jesus' family tree by writing, "And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah." The last link in Jesus' genealogy is Joseph, the husband of Mary, which leads us to the reading of Matthew's Christmas story. The birth of Jesus the Messiah. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, But before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. My friends, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.